Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. Reach Roy at 615-842-999 or visit roymatlockjr.com. And now, here's Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here. And if you're just tuning in, I want you to go to kind of catch up a little bit, roymatlockjr.com. You can do that, or you can do the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour and look up the podcast I did about the $500 secret. And that $500 secret is, you know, really kind of the secret to getting financial independence starts with $500 a month. And so one of the things that we're going to do today is go back through, and I'm going to talk about specific products. So my business has been geared around several types of ways of doing things. You know, I've been in the financial advisory business a long time. And what I have learned over those years is that you gotta keep it simple, but at the same time, you got to get everything done. And so I've tried to simplify, educate, do all those kind of things to help people actually implement plans. And so today, if you're tuning in, you can go to roymatlockjr.com and say, I want to implement my $500 plan, and you'll see a form there for that. Also, you can call at 615-843-2999 and do the same thing. So today is going to be, you know, what do we do? Well, let's get started with an overview. The overview is the most important thing anyone can do when it comes to their money is get started. I mean, that's the key to it. Procrastination is the biggest killer of wealth. More than any mistake you'll ever make is just putting things off. And so what I'm doing today is I'm giving you a call to action. And the call to action is it's, you know, time to get started. Now, I don't care how old you are, but if you, any day you wait, you're just costing the back end of compound interest to not compound. And what that means is that you don't think about it, but, you know, 1 year tied to the 20th year is 1 year of earnings off of a larger amount of money. And so what you want to do is you always want to be thinking like, all right, I got to do it now. I just got to be like crazy. I got to do it now. And so how do we do things? Well, number one, education and advice. That's what I do. I try to educate and then give good advice. You're going to get advice today. Additionally, from there, we go into and we create a defensive position. The defensive position is to avoid mistakes that cause people problems. I had a young guy call me, 18 years old, and a family member, and he's like, all right, I've got, you know, $10,000. I can do this with a car, or I can have a car payment. I'm like, dude, you want to mess your life up? Go get a car payment. All right. That's the beginning of the bad decisions. And so, you know, I talked to him and he listened. And so instead he's going to buy a cheap car, pay cash. He's got a car that plus 10,000 saved. And so anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to avoid mistakes. We're going to protect our income, and that's the defense. We protect our income, our assets, and avoid mistakes. The offense is about growing wealth. It's about cutting taxes, all right, and putting yourself in a position where one day you get financial independent. And then from there, we go to the products, and we have to find products that fit all of those things. And so today, I'm going to go through the product side, not specific products, but I'm going to give you enough information where you say, well, I know, understand, that makes sense, all right? So we're going to do that. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get started on the defense. The defense is avoiding mistakes. All right. So step number one on the defense is we set a budget up. The budget, you can go to roymatlockjr.com, get the budget forms. You can search the podcast that I've done in the past to get how to set a budget up. But here's a real simple deal. We're going to set up several bank accounts. If you're single, you have two bank accounts. If you're married, you have three bank accounts. Bank account number one is where all money goes in and all money goes out. All right. So anything that you can automate, you know, automatically set it up that way. So what we're going to do is all of our income goes into the account. I call it in my bank account, the draft account, and all automatic drafts come out of that account. All income goes into that account. And then from there, what I do is I set up things to where I don't have to think about it anymore. For instance, if you have a house payment, why do you have to think about it? Pay it, just set it up. All right. All of this takes maybe an hour to get all your bill pays in place, things like that. So then it's automated. You don't have to worry about it. So there, now inside of that draft account, we're going to also have automatic payments that go into investments. The other way we do that is by having the 401k set up and things like that. We'll get into it a little bit later. So the budget's that. Then the second account you have, or in the case if you're married, you both have it, are the weekly spending accounts. And that's the amount of money that on Sunday you move over. It takes you all of about 2 minutes to implement this. And the way it works is you already know all of your budget is set up. You've built into that budget car replacement and maintenance and all the different things that go along with it. And then you have a weekly amount of money that you're able to spend each week and stay within your budget. So let's just say for easy math, you got $200 a piece. That's your free money, $200 a week. And so on Sunday, you just move $200 a week out of your draft account into those two accounts. And then you are set to go. How do you manage that? You tell the bank to send you a text every day with the amount of money that's in that account. And at the end of the week, you decide if you've got any money left, you can still do something. If you don't, you're done. All right. And then Sunday starts up again. So that's the budget. The emergency fund, we want to have that 3 to 6 months of our income. I say income, expenses, with the idea that if you're both working, maybe 3 months. If you're single, you probably need a little bit more because you're either working or not working. And the idea behind that is that what we're going to do is we're going to set up an automated way of getting there. I recommend a money market mutual fund. It gets a better rate. In addition to the fact you can take that money and it's far enough away, but easy enough to get to. So it's not a put and take account. It's an account out there. So now we've got an emergency fund. Why do we have that? It allows us to avoid mistakes, avoid borrowing money. When we have things, we got a budget that sets aside money for things that are going to occur. We're building our foundation. So now what do? We've got an emergency fund and we've got it in a money market account, money market mutual fund. We have a budget. We have two bank accounts set up, maybe three bank accounts. We're building it. So now bank accounts, three of them, two or three of them. Emergency fund is sitting there. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned with me. We're going to build the products to get you started on the road to financial independence. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here. And today we are talking about getting started. And this is a podcast that will be coming out. We do the radio, and then the radio becomes a podcast several weeks ago. It's called The Magic of $500 a Month. I did a show on that. The reason I did that was really, if you are sitting here right now and you've got kids that are young adults or you've got grandkids, whatever it may be, you know, I had lunch with my daughter just a couple of days ago and I was very proud of her. She saved like a lot of money, you know, and it all gets back to education and, you know, young, doing well. And so what happens is it's about getting started, getting on a plan. I had a 26-year-old that, you know, met with one of my clients' daughters, saved like 70 grand. I mean, think about that. I mean, changed their whole life, all right, because of that. If you're older and you're sitting there saying, I'm not 26, I'm not 30. Listen, anything you do, okay, that causes procrastination, it's just going to cost you more money. So what I want you to do is go to the website, roymatlockjr.com, or you can call us at 615-843-2999 and just say, I want to set up a plan, $500 a month plan, talk to me. And so we started with the budget, the emergency fund, three bank accounts, two to three bank accounts to set your budget up in the budget forms. An emergency fund, we go to a money market account. What we're going to do is when we're doing these things, I'm giving you products. All right. So we're going to money market mutual fund for the emergency fund. We're then going to start going toward if we have debt. And what I mean by non-mortgage debt, what we call bad debt, cars, credit cards, stuff like that. The budget is the foundation to that. We then go and we implement through our draft account an automatic payment that goes to the credit cards. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But the main thing you want to do is set up a plan where it automatically pays and it pays the same amount of money every month. And why do you do that? Because credit cards, if you pay the minimum payments every month, the minimum payment goes down. So you just really are paying the interest and you're not really doing anything to knock it out. If you have a car payment, my recommendation is, how do you get out of a car payment debt? Well, you get it to where if you've got a bad car payment, the best thing for you to do is downsize your car. And if your credit's good, you can usually finance it and downsize it. But the difference is if you've got a, $500-$600 a month car payment for 4 years, let's get a $500-$600 a month car payment for 2 years, whatever it might be. The reason I'm telling you this is I did this stuff. All right. When I got in the financial business, I was like, man alive, I messed up. I was an unconscious incompetent. I didn't know. And then I got involved in the business and started saying, wait a minute, this is a bad idea. What I'm doing, I've messed myself up. I got to fix it. And so if we have debt like that, I went as far one time, I had one of my financial advisors who was a part-timer and he wanted to go full-time. And I always met with the husband and wife or the individual if they wanted to make a full-time career out of this. And the first thing you got to do is you got to be able to say, look, Mr. Client, here's what I do. This is what I did. All right. And this is how I handle my money. And you need to be the type of person that is doing what you practice, what you preach. And so I never wanted someone to go into the financial business as a full-time deal and not have their own finances straight. And they showed up one day and husband and wife, he says, wanting to do it. And they had car payments, they had credit card bills, two car payments, had a house though. And the house had equity in it. And it was enough equity that they could sell the cars, sell the house. In other words, sell everything, start over and eliminate all their credit card debt, their car payments and all that stuff and buy a cheap car. Well, back in the days when Dave Ramsey and I were on the radio, we called the radio show The Money Game. And The Money Game was we had a car called the Money Game car. And the Money Game car was basically somebody that says, you know what? I'm over it. I'm getting a piece of junk. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay cash for it and eliminate my car payments. And so we had this car lot out on Gallatin Road, and we handed out bumper stickers. Don't laugh. It's a Money Game car, which means that, hey, buddy, my car's paid for. It may look like a junker, but it's paid for. So one of my guys, he bought a $750 car. Can you imagine that? Now, the good news, we used to tell people, hey, if any of my advisors are driving a junker, ask them why. And the reason is that they made the change and eventually they get to upgrade. And so this is what happened. He bought a 750 car. Somebody backed into him in the parking lot at Hickory Hollow Mall, and he got $1,250 in damages. All right. And so things like that, 1 year later, they had $100,000 saved. All right. But they had no expenses. They made money. A little over a year later, had $100,000 going from credit card and car payments, stuff like that. So you can do that. So then what we're going to do is we're going to get out of debt and we're going to take the debt. And if we have multiple debts, you can line them up and you can apply minimum payments, level payments to all of the cards and then, step it up on the bigger debt, that kind of deal, or the higher interest rates, a lot of different ways to do it. But the long and short of it is you automate it. So you don't have to do it anymore. You're not using the credit card anymore if you've got the balance. Then we go from there and we buy the right insurance. And so we're going to talk about buying insurance. What do we do when we buy insurance? Well, first thing we're doing is we're protecting our income. What do we buy? Well, we buy term life insurance to protect our income. That's one of the things that you need. If you have kids, you have a mortgage, you have any other expenses, things like that, and you got future expenses, you got colleges, that you're probably going to want to, be able to give your children a heads up, or step up in life to where they don't have a bunch of student loan debt, that kind of thing. You have to plan for it. So the way it works is your income is the resource that causes everything to happen. Your whole existence is sitting on the income. All right. So all your bills get paid as a result of your income, all of your, travel, anything you do, you can't do it if you don't have an income. All right. You can't drive your car. You can't do anything. So everything sits on your income. So your income is your biggest asset. All right. And we got to protect that. How do we protect it? We buy term life insurance. Let me give you an example of what would happen. A couple of rules of thumb. If we're going to buy a term policy, term only pays off if you die. You buy like a 20 or 25 year, 15, 20 year term. And what that means is the premium stays level for that the number of years. and the coverage remains level. So here's how this works. So let's say you're making $100,000 a year. And you say, well, if something happened to me, that $100,000 props up my house payment, my cars, my kids, everything I'm doing. That's what I do. So we have to have my family, whether I'm here or not, needs that $100,000. One way we look at how much you need is we replace your income. We put a zero to it. If we had $1 million, you take $1 million and at 10%, that's $100,000. But if you're getting, say, if you're pulling eight on something like that, and you are pulling that out over a period of time, it should replace your income over a 15 or 20 year period to get you to a point where you will have saved money to where you don't need as much insurance anymore. So we buy term insurance. We might add the mortgage to it, income replacement, mortgage, and education. Set aside money for two children, and we have that. That's term life insurance. We buy disability income. Disability income, in many cases, you can get it through your work. How do you buy disability income? Well, there's a waiting period that before it starts paying, the longer you're willing to wait before the payment starts, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, whatever, you're going to have a lesser premium. If you have an emergency fund, you say, well, I can wait. All right. But disability income pays your income or to you. You also could be eligible for Social Security. So now you're not able to work, but you're able to pay your bills, which to me is even worse. If you can't work, you know, it's worse than dying. Okay. If you've got bills to pay and you can't do anything to help yourself. So we buy disability income to protect our income. So we're doing income replacement. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about asset protection. And so we're going in, how does disability work? How does life insurance work? We just covered it. If you want to get started with a plan, call 615-843-2999 or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We will meet with you and we will make it happen and implement a plan. We'll be right back. Okay, we're building the plan to get you started. Now, one of the things that you got to keep in mind is, you know, I'm saying the magic of $500. You know, a starting point, $500 a month, you know, you put into something and we help you get started. We are one of these companies that, you know, I have dealt with people that they want help. And if you want help, you call us, we'll help you. All right, to get started. But that $500 magic, why is it magic? Well, you put $500 a month away, you get about 8 or 9%, and 10 years later, you've got 100K. If you have 100K, most people, when they get to $100,000, they have a little sigh of relief. They're like, you know what? I can live for a while. I don't have to worry about stuff quite as much. And then you get the power of compound interest working for you on that 100K, and you start seeing your money. You have how many doubling periods you have between the time you have to use it and retire. And so that's the seed that you want to get. So now what we're doing is we're building the defense, budget, emergency fund, eliminate bad debt. We talked about insurance at the break, term life insurance, disability income insurance in the event something happens. Most of your term policies now, we add a rider or a piece of it to where you have what's called living benefits. And that's if you get critically chronic or terminal illness, you can get that while you're living. All right. If you have any of that happen. So anyway, so that's the income protection. Let's look at the asset protection, home, auto, personal umbrella policy. I was with a person not just this week sitting, I was at a restaurant and he's telling me stuff. And I said, he's big income earner doing well. And I said something about his liability coverages on his home and auto, and did he have a personal umbrella? He said, man, I don't know anything about that. Well, let me explain. If you don't know anything about that and you get into an accident, you will end up getting sued. And when you get sued and you don't have the proper liability, you will learn quickly that you should have had the proper liability coverage. So anyway, just as an example, we have on our website, you can go, we have a referral partner right on our website to, be able to analyze your home and auto insurance and personal umbrella. But just as an example, I just moved mine and to this agency, and I bought a $2 million personal umbrella policy for a little over $500. What do you think about that? So if you go to an attorney and you get sued, And so somebody's trying to take your property and you don't, and it's past the liability. The insurance company's already paid off what they're going to do. And they're suing you for $1 million, whatever. And you go to the attorney's going to say, well, the first thing we need is a retainer. And, we need $30,000 or $20,000. Now, what is that $20,000 for when you go to an attorney? It's just to pay him for his time to figure out what the problem is. You know, I mean, if I sit down with someone and I start explaining something to them, and it's technical and you got to back it up with proof and all this kind of stuff, then it's going to take a little bit of time for you to explain it. So the first money you spend with an attorney gets you nothing. It just gets them a little bit educated. Then the ticker keeps going. And would it be better to do that by for $500 or $1,000, several million dollars of liability coverage? And then you have the insurance company attorneys representing you and you don't care how much time they put into it. You just say, hey, it's yours. You go have at it. And so that's what an umbrella policy does. You get underlying coverages on your car and home and stuff like that. You know, a car insurance, if you, you know, a $500,000, you know, single limit liability, I would do something like that. I would have 2 million of, or a million minimum if you've got any kind of assets or more when it comes to buying personal umbrella coverages. And you do that. You look at your home and you say to yourself, well, what's it worth? You know, I need to make sure I have full replacement coverage. Additionally, I can raise my deductibles on all of this if I have an emergency fund and cut my cost. In many cases, you can get a free umbrella policy just by raising deductibles. So that is protecting assets. We're going to protect other assets by buying the proper health insurance. I always believe if you're, you know, if you have it through your work, that's one thing and they're providing it. If you're buying it on your own, I tend to go toward a health share with a health savings account. Mentioned this to two of my clients this week, you know, that became self-employed. You know, they have a higher deductible. They can put 4,200, I think is the number now, into a health share and tax deducted, double that if you're married. And then when you use it for health, it is tax-free. So that works that way. And the good news about a health share plan or health savings account is it turns into like a Roth IRA once you're 59 and a half. And it can be invested, you know, along the way. So we have that. So your health insurance is very important. One of the number one causes of bankruptcy is that. And I've always said, save your money, have your emergency fund, raise your deductibles, cut your cost. Go to the, when you go to the doctor, ask for cash price and they will give you a cash price and that's your out of pocket. So, you know what? It's better to do that. You're becoming self-insured. So now we're moving along. We're protecting. What's next? We need to ask ourselves, should one of us go into a nursing home? Would we be able to take care of that if you're married? Because if you're married and you have a home and one of you ends up in a long-term care facility, it's like getting a divorce. You've got two households for the sake of it and one income. That's not good. And so there's lots of ways. One of the ways you can do it is you can do buy annuities and life insurance that have riders that will pay money monthly should that happen. Another example is you can set aside a lump sum. I've got one product that you put aside $100,000 into one of these annuities. It gets a rate similar to a bank. And then if you don't use it, the money's there. If you do use it, it will pay up to 3x the value of that account at the time. So if you put in 100, it would pay up to 300. Should you go in the nursing home or anything like that, it covers assisted living and all those kind of things. So that's a way to self-insure in the event that happens. Another you know, thing that I look at on the defense is outliving your money. My mother, you know, was incredible. She made it to 102, passed away this year. Good news about my mother is she had a great financial advisor. I always tell that, me. And so she never had to worry about money. But a lot of people, if they live to 102, that's not a good thing because now they've run out of money when they're 80 or whatever it is. And so lifetime income guarantees can be purchased with annuities. The way they work is this, you put a lump sum in. It provides you a lifetime income guarantee at 65 years old, you know, 6-7% if you're married, something like that, for the rest of your life. The goal is when you buy one of those type of annuities, is that you make the assumption that it's not an inheritance. We hope it goes to zero because we live long. But what happens is the way annuity works, it pays until you die. If there's money left over in the account, it goes to your family. If there's no money, that means you beat the insurance company. And so we want that. That is protecting our income. So on the income side, we protect it with life insurance, term life insurance. We protect it with disability income coverage. And then we protect it with long-term annuities that could provide lifetime income guarantees. Now, should you be buying annuities? Well, it depends on your situation. If you have plenty of money and you can have a lower withdrawal rate on a mutual fund, say a balance fund, something like that, we're probably not going to recommend that you have to do an annuity. If you're in the middle, you're okay. Or if you're behind, we're probably going to recommend that you look toward that. What we do is we position products to the person, all right, based on their situation. So when I meet with someone, I talk to them about a lot of things. Let's say that you're in a situation where you're behind and you've got a house that's paid for. Well, we may talk about a reverse mortgage. Now, if people say, well, I don't want a reverse mortgage, well, you don't have a choice. You didn't save enough money to be able to do things. And so what happens is we look at that. Normally when I meet with people at retirement age, they're either behind, okay, or ahead. And each of those scenarios, depending on where you're at, we will make different decisions on the products. But the long and short of it is, those are your defensive products. If you would like to get a plan started, go to RoyMatlockJr.com, ask for the $500 a month plan, or call 615-843-2999. We'll be back for our last segment. All right, we're finishing up, and this is how to get a plan started. Number one mistake people make is procrastination. And so now we're going to get into the offensive side, and where would we go? So if you're first getting started, some of the things that we're going to make for sure happen is we're going to get and take advantage of any matching funds that we have through our work. So if you have a 401k and they match it, guys, you got to take advantage of the match. All right. And so when we meet with people, I'm always telling, look, let's buy one, get one free. Very likely we might do a tax deductible 401k, put the money in, and then take the tax savings, and that could fund a Roth IRA. You can also do what's called a backdoor Roth. That means you're making too much money to qualify for a Roth and have a 401k, and we can still get you a Roth. And the way we do it is we do what's called a backdoor. And if you're out there right now, that gives you the way to take advantage of your 401k, get a deduction. And then at the same time, even though you're ineligible based on your income, we can backdoor it and get you that Roth IRA. So if you're interested in that, you should call us. We'll show how that works. All right. So then we're going to put our money into things that can grow. When you're looking at investments, stocks, bonds, and money markets are pretty much the way it works. When we say stocks, bonds, and money market would be your liquid cash. That's emergency funds, things like that. That's not your long-term money. You may have a little bit of money sitting there, that you can get to, but the idea behind it is that we're going to be either in a stock or a bond portfolio. We may add for income purposes the annuities that I spoke about on the previous section. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and say, well, what is a stock? What is a bond? And then what is a professionally managed account? And we're going to put you in professionally managed accounts. I have people ask me all the time, what do you think about SpaceX stock? And I'm like, I got no opinion. All right. Why do you have no opinion? Because I don't have an opinion. I'm not a stock analyst. That's not what I do. I'm an asset allocation professional money manager recommendator. That's what I do. I recommend specific companies that are professional money managers that have pools, big groups of stocks and bonds. And then we go in and we decide from your risk tolerance and how long you have before you're going to retire and need the money, where we should allocate it. So let's talk about what is a stock. A stock is ownership. A bond is a loan. All right. So let's talk about how does that work? What's an easy way of looking at it? I've always said become an owner, not a loaner. And there is a spread between the ownership and the loaner. So let's make it simple. We go to the bank, we make a deposit in the bank. It's called a savings account. They borrow that money from you. You loan it to them. They pay you 0 to maybe 3%, depending on what type of account you have. They in turn loan it back out to people that borrow on a car at 13%, credit card 20%+, and so on. And they make the spread. That's how the banks make money. Insurance companies do the same thing. Basically, if you buy life insurance, you're just loaning money every month, and they, if something happens, pay. But you have to do it. You buy the insurance, you get protection. If you invest, put your money in a bank, they're borrowing it and they make a spread. Who makes the most money, the bank or the insurance company or you? Usually the bank does. So how do you beat that? Well, you just own the bank. And how do you own the bank? You own stock in the bank. But I don't know which bank to buy. So what we do is we go to a professional money manager, and that professional money manager will choose the best banks. All right. This is the story that you need to understand. Ownership, ownership of companies that you do business with. If you buy into a professionally managed portfolio, they may have 200 or 300 companies that you can purchase that are inside of that professionally managed account. It's called a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund. They're different. A mutual fund is where we mutually fund it. And as a result of big dollars, professional money managers charging a fee to pick the stocks and research them. And over a period of time, they do pretty well. Index funds are when you're buying the entirety of the market, like the S&P. S&P's averaged about 10% for 50 years. It means your money is doubled. If you don't even do anything, but just say, give me one of everything. Give me one fund that's an index fund. And if you do that, you've averaged doubling your money about every 7 years. You have professional stock picking, professionally managed funds. I have those, and I have those that have beat the index by picking the better ones. All right. A lot of the funds don't beat the index. I put people in funds that have been. And so now what we do is we say, well, which funds am I going to buy? Well, I've got a money. If you think in terms of a spectrum on the right hand side, if you were doing a little moon, you would have a money market. And then that's the safest there is. The idea is for emergencies. Then we go to bonds. Bonds are debt securities. Companies borrow money. Principalities borrow money. Companies that have good credit borrow money. That's called, you know, AAA bonds, or you can go to junk bonds. That means companies that are not as creditworthy. They didn't pay their bills like they should have been, but now they're maybe better. And then you can go all the way up to what's called a balance fund. All right. So what happens is, as we move more toward risk, we take on stocks. A balanced fund will have stock and bonds in it. A growth and income fund. They will be across 200 companies that are big companies that pay dividends. So why do you buy dividend funds? Well, because when the market's down, typically the dividends still pay. So what we're doing is we're allocating. We go from there to maybe a growth fund, large company growth fund. Not dividends, but they're big companies. Most of them you would know, Amazon and things like that. You could have mid-sized funds that invest in mid-sized companies, the Amazons that are of tomorrow. They're almost there. They're not there. You've got the small companies that would be, you've never heard of them, but one day you wake up and there's the new Facebook, that kind of thing. You also have global funds. Global invest in the U.S. and or basically all over the world, and an international fund will invest only outside the U.S. So now you've got an understanding. And what we do on this is we go in and we say, well, where are you at in life? All right. I've got a long time. All right. Before I'm going to retire, I'm young. I got a long time. So we're going to be more aggressive with people that have longer time horizons. We're going to be more conservative with people that have shorter time horizons. What do we mean by time horizon? If you're within 10 years of retirement, I'm going to break your money into two pieces: what you have now and what you're going to be able to accumulate based on what you're investing now. So let's just say you have $500,000, but your income is up and you can put $30,000 a year in to a retirement plan. So now over 10 years, you put in 300, it's going to grow to about 600 if it's invested right. All right. but you've got 500 and at 7%, it goes to a million. So what's most important? It's the money you've already got. So we're going to make sure the money you all already have is going to be a little more conservative. That's kind of, let's don't go put in money today and 10 years from now, it's less than what it was. And then we're going to be more aggressive when we're buying every month using dollar cost averaging. And we're going to go in, and if you have a retirement plan through work, we'll help you pick that. If you're trying to figure out what to do, you buy what's called target date funds. A target date fund says take your age, birth year, add 65 or 70 to it, and that will give you an automatically managed account based on your time horizon. So if you were born, like in my case, 61, and you thought you were going to retire at 65, then that's a 2025 target, and it's going to be more conservative. And then what they'll do is they'll manage it out for the next 20 or 30 years based on whatever that target is. I don't like target dates, but I like it better than people trying to do it on their own. Target dates are good in the accumulation phase, but when you're pulling money out, I'm not sold on them because they become very, very, very conservative. And the idea is that if you don't understand it, the target dates are designed to make it easy. If I do an enrollment meeting for a retirement plan, for like a small business, we set up 401ks for them. I'll stand up. I'll say, look, you can meet with us. We've got a lot of options. If you don't want to meet with us, that's fine. Let's pick the target. Take your birth year, add 65 to it. That's where you check off and at least do your matching. So we're going to do that. Now, when we do those kind of things, this allows us to start growing. So we get tax benefits. We have professional money management. So we're not sitting there picking one stock, you know, hoping it's there. I mean, we saw something on the internet and it's like, no, guys, it just does. You don't outperform these guys over a long period of time. You might get lucky. You may work for a company and happen to get lucky. And what I always tell people, when you're getting lucky working for a company, you need to diversify. I've seen people, never forget, you know, years ago, I had a person come in and they worked for a company that the stock had exploded. I mean, just like boom. I mean, they made a lot of money and they didn't really do anything for it, but they're not C-suite. They're not anything like that. Enron would be a perfect example of that. Enron, I knew people that had $300,000 in their 401k and they lost it, okay, as a result of that. So what I always tell people is this: be very careful with having a ton of money in company stock. You know, the only exception might be is you're the CEO, all right, or you're in the C-suite and you've got inside information and you also have control. You know, I'm full on about investing in myself, but at the same time, I'm not wanting to have a lot of money put aside into one few little things that I don't have much control over or no control. And so that's how we do that. So now we're moving along toward accumulating money. And how do we go about doing this? I always say, whatever you do, automate it. How do we automate? You got two automations. One automation is your 401k, 403b. That's one automation to where every time you automatically get money put in, you choose your amount and it gets put in. The second automation is you have an automatic bank draft coming out of your checking account. And what happens when you do that, you set it up in advance. You make it happen. I'll give you an example. If you want to get in shape, one of the easy ways to get in shape is hire a personal trainer and show up, and they'll make you get in shape. All right. Well, if you call us, what we will do for you is implement. We're implementers of financial independence. If you meet with us, you will have a defense set up. You will have an offense set up. It will be automated. And then all we will do after that is ask you a question. You're making more money? Yeah, let's bump it. And we do that. We do reviews and updates. Call 615-843-2999 if you'd like help, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.